Welcome to Firm Foundation. In these times of shifting standards and faulty foundations, there is a solid place on which to build a victorious life. And that place is the firm foundation of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Your host for Firm Foundation is Brian Hudson, a Bible teacher, pastor, author, and producer of Life Enriching Media.
Ephesians chapter 5, verse 16. Apostle Paul wrote, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." Now, verse 16 from King James says, "Redeeming the time, because the days are evil." So newer versions say, "Make the most of every opportunity." And that's a very important translation, because when we say redeem the time, our thinking is, well, don't waste time. But really, it's not talking about that. This text isn't talking about time of day or hours in the day and not wasting time. Not talking about that. In fact, the New King James, NIV, they all have it correct. Make the most of every opportunity. We'll talk about that, why that's true. He says, because the days are evil. Well, the thing about days being evil and difficult and trying like today and these days are, is it is easier to become distracted when days are evil. It is easier to be sidetracked and sucked into cares of the world. It's easier to only look at the things that are wrong, the murder rate, and all those things that are real and wrong. And it's easy when things are evil to spend a lot of time looking at things. But worse than that is to miss opportunities. Opportunities is what we're talking about today. He says, redeem the time, which means make the most of every opportunity. Again, Nicole here is here again. God bless Nicole. She says it's her last week wearing her boot. Amen. So I like to bring her up because of what she's been through. She ran for school board and she couldn't even walk. What if she'd have said, "We got a pandemic, I broke my foot, and I was planning on running, and I can't run now because the days are evil, you know, and somebody hit me with a car, and pandemic has hit me on the other side, and I'm going to wait till next time." But see, the thing about it is, God's plan doesn't change. Just because things happen. And in fact, things happen to distract us from what we need to do. Right? He says, so make the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. I mean, some folk like, "I'm going to sit down." Why? Because the days are evil. "I'm going to pull back." Why? Because, no, God is saying lean in. Don't step back, lean forward. He says, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. That means put a mask on. You see how God's word is always working for us? You can apply God's word in every circumstance of life. That's why I love the word of God. I love what Jesus has done, because nothing caught him by surprise. This whole pandemic didn't catch God off guard. Caught us off guard, not him. Then he says again, King James says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. So redeeming the time literally means make the most of every opportunity. A couple of quotes I'm going to share with you. I've shared before in years past, but Leonard Ravenhill said, "The opportunity of a lifetime must be seized in the lifetime of the opportunity." You get that? Opportunity has a lifetime. Opportunities aren't sitting there for you to make up your mind forever. What you going to do? I don't know. Well, okay. When you going to know? I don't know. I'll pray about it. Well, pray about it. You prayed about it? Yes. You know? No, I don't know yet. So you're fooling around, you know, say you're praying and making a decision, and what happens is the lifetime of the opportunity leaves you. Now, other things come up, life isn't over. But the point is, he makes an interesting observation here. So then, make the most of every opportunity. Also, Ashley Orman said this, you can't make up for lost time. You can only do better in the future. It's a good quote, isn't it? We've all lost time, made some mistakes, wasted some time, wasted physical time, wasted opportunity. But we can't grieve over that. We can only do better in the future. And the future starts now. So just do better. Do better in the future and stop looking back and grieving over what should have happened, could have, would have, should have. Don't waste any more time on that. Because time is going in one direction. Time is going in one direction only. That is forward. So it's important for us to grasp just these ideas, these concepts and thoughts. So important for us. All right, Ecclesiastes chapter 3. A couple of verses I want to read here. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1, and then verse 11. To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also put eternity in their hearts. Love that truth. For everything there is a season. A season is a duration. And a time is the beginning of something. So there's season, there's time. There's a time to start, and a season is duration. So to everything there is a season. Some are long seasons, some are short seasons. I'm in a season of marriage now for the rest of my life. We started March 24th, 1979. And that season is still going on, almost 42 years now. Amen. That's a long season, amen. I used to play basketball, but that's a shorter season. Fell down, couldn't get up one day, knocked my teeth out. Think I'll try golf now. I'm in the golf season. So there are seasons and there are times, but it's all, it says he has made everything beautiful in its time. This is the mystery, because we want things to be beautiful and right and fruitful when we think about it, when we are engaged with it. But sometimes the fruit comes later. You know, there are trees that don't bear fruit for the first 6, 7, 8 years. It takes that long for the first harvest of fruit to come on a tree. Well, God makes everything beautiful in its time. The seed has its own season. But it doesn't mean that you aren't blessed and fruitful in different ways, because our lives are full of opportunities and purposes. So while you're waiting on this thing over here, this is happening over there. Right? There's always something happening in your life while you're waiting on the thing you really want the most. Don't lose sight of what God's already doing. It's important. So everything, he makes everything beautiful in its time. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. The Apostle Paul said this, verse 17. Therefore, when I was planning this, did I do it lightly? Or the things I plan, do I plan according to the flesh? That with me there should be yes, yes, and no, no. So Paul gave us some insight into how he went about his ministry and work for the Lord. He didn't plan things lightly. You know, sometimes we'll announce we're going to do something, and the first time you hear it, you think, oh, that's brand new. That's not new. It's the first time you heard it. A lot of things, most things God's, you find out about, have been in the works for a long time. But the season hadn't come to do it or the time to reveal it. The point is, when you're working on something in your life and God's helping you in something, then recognize, don't take it lightly. And obviously, because if we do, then it won't come together the way God wants it to. So we don't do these things lightly or according to the flesh, meaning we don't do things just to make ourselves, to gratify ourselves, to make ourselves happy, you know. Happiness is good, but we don't work for that aim only. so that with me there should be yes, yes, and no, no, meaning that I'm not, we say the word ambivalent, up and down, double-minded, that when we're planning in God's grace and wisdom and being earnest about it, we can make decisions, yes to this, no to that, because we're clear about the plan. The plan, your plan tells you what to say yes to, what to say no to, the plan. Once the plan is correct and from God, the plan tells you what to say yes to and what to say no to. You follow me? So I'm kind of taking more than what Paul said here. I'm applying my own example to Paul's text, but I believe it stands up that we want to have the same spirit of Paul who was very earnest about what God had called him to do. Word about chronos and kairos. Here are the words. Now, chronos, there's two words. When you see the word time in the New Testament, our word time, it either is the word chronos in the Greek or the word kairos. And the word chronos literally means clock time, time of day. So chronos time right now, you know, I've got 11:17 Eastern time. That's chronos time. Well, kairos is God's set time. Look it up in your Greek dictionary, set time, or it's about maximizing opportunity. Well, in our text in Ephesians 5, redeem the time, where redeem the time, that speaks to kairos, or God's set time. Say God's set time. Yeah, God has a set time. Now, think about God's set time. He doesn't give us a whole lot of lead on that. You know, he doesn't always say, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Come here and tell you something. In 1 month and 2 days, I'm going to do this right here for you. He doesn't do that. He never does that. He'll tell you, I'm going to do something. He doesn't tell you when. He may give you a sense of it, because God knows if he gave us too much information too early, it wouldn't help us. We get kind of lazy and silly with it, you know, go around telling people all that. So sometimes God just, you know, he must have invented theater. You know, I think God invented theater and drama, because God knows about some drama. Amen. He can do some drama. He'll spring stuff on you. Look like in the last minute, last day before, because he's already kind of let you know I'm moving this way. See, what God does with me, at least, he gives me an indication which way he's going. But he doesn't tell me exactly the set time of it. You follow me? Because he wants me to set my whole self, spirit, soul, body, in his direction so that whatever he says, I'm ready for it. Right? It's almost like, you know, in a football game, football teams have plays. They have many plays. They've already practiced and drawn up. And they go out in the field, and so the coach calls the play in to the quarterback. Depending on the situation, they'll call the play. So quarterbacks don't call their own plays nowadays. They have wireless headsets on, or they got hand signals, they have things on the arm, they have a list of things in the arm, they know which play based on the code that came in from the sideline. Somewhat like that with God. God has, okay, you're in the game, and I will send the play into you. I'll send the play. But guess what? If you haven't been practicing in the word and prayer, we don't know when God sends the play. We're like, well, I don't remember that. What play are you talking about? What is that? See? So the Lord wants us just to be ready. Be always ready. And that in God's set time, the opportunity, the purpose, the thing he wants to do, he'll make it known to you. This opportunity peace and set time of God is much different. It requires we pay attention to God. And depending on how we walk with God, he knows how to help us, how to get our attention, how to embarrass us. Lord, you said, do this. I'm not ready for it. I'm not being in prayer like I should be. I don't really sense I'm ready for that. And so now, okay, Lord, thank you. So even when God has to embarrass me, in a sense, it's just only that to make me aware, I need you to stay ready. I need you to stay in prayer, stay in the word, stay in faith, so that when something comes up I can count on you to do my will in that. Amen. So we thank God. That's one thing I believe that the Lord wants us to know. Now, let me share this with you. See, here's some tips. Just talk about managing our chronos time right now. And when you're doing planning, here are three words I want to suggest is research, reflect, review. Say research, reflect, review. Now, for any purpose you want to undertake, any project, any ministry, any task, you have to first do your homework. That's research. Understand the environment, understand what you're working with, who you're working with, what you need to accomplish the goal. Do the research. And as believers in Christ, sometimes we kind of default to, well, I'll pray about it, and God will tell me what I should know. No, that's not how this works. It's not how it works in this world. Because, again, we're laborers together with God. And our part is to do the research, to get understanding, get wisdom, all right? Second is reflect. That is, spend quality time thinking through your purpose, thinking through the steps, your goals, what you want to do. Just think it through. You know, Paul Scanlon tells a story. I showed a video some years ago. When he was a pastor, he was in his office one time. He was sitting back on his sofa in his office, and someone came in and began to ask him some questions. He said, "Excuse me, I'm busy." He said, "Well, Pastor, you're not doing anything. You're sitting there." "No, I'm thinking." "I'm thinking." So to you, it appeared I wasn't doing anything. I was sitting there, I'm thinking through a lot of things. So to sit and reflect, y'all, that's a big deal. That's a huge thing. If you don't make time to sit and think quietly, undisturbed, and reflect, then you'll never be clear about what you should do. Because it takes time. You know, there are things in front of mind that always come to you. I mean, I can go out, I can drive the car, I can still drive a stick shift. I mean, I can, you know, but some things you got to think about, like where I'm going to drive this car. I'm going to Atlanta, let's say. How do I go, and which way do I go, and how can I navigate around the problems with virus? So we have to think, and there's no substitute for reflection and thinking. Third is review. Say review. That is, critique your past actions. One of the things we do, if you know, when you do curriculum development or any kind of training, is the last thing you do when you conclude training is evaluate. How did the training go? The hits, the misses, and you build those results back into your next training. You follow me? You keep the cycle of revision based on what you learned from the last time. So there's review, and ask yourself, how could this have been done better? Always ask that question. And read up on what you're doing, learn more about it, talk to people who are experts in the field. They're called subject matter experts, SMEs. And most of those folk are not your friends. Amen, somebody. Your friends are there for fun and entertainment, but don't ask your friends about some things. It's not their area, amen. So find people who know what they're talking about. But that's a part of review. And it's important when you're managing your chronos time and even preparing to move in God's set time. These are all necessary ingredients to be ready to move on God's opportunities he presents to you. Here's some more points I'm going to give you. Just some points, some wisdom points. Now, understand the Bible concept of time is very clear and very practical for us today to understand. That, first of all, the purpose of God should be the motivating factor in our lives. He expects us to rightly use the time we have on earth. You know, when you're young, you have all the time in the world. When you're older, you don't think that way anymore. You don't think that way anymore. I remember I was talking to a friend of mine, and back when I was a part of a network of ministries, I mean, way of, probably in my 30s, I think, out in California with Pastor Earl, different ones. We're talking about things, doing different things. And someone said, let's do this project. One guy said, yeah, let's do that. I said, yeah, let's do that. And then older guy said, now, hold on now, wait a minute. I don't have time to try things. I thought, what's wrong with him? I'm that guy now, right? I'm the guy, when somebody says, let's try this, I'm like, I don't have time to try things no more. So let's look into this very deeply before we're going to do stuff, but not try stuff. That trying stuff is for young people. They can try. They can try, mess it up, get it wrong. When you get older, you don't try things no more. You want to know, you know, we're going to do things because I don't have time to try. And then it don't work. I got to reset and come back around. Can't do that. So that's why, you know, I'm saying purpose of God should be our motivating factor. And you rightly use the time you have or you have left. And the fact is, your life isn't all about your work and ministry. I mean, there's time for leisure and time for rest. That's all important. So factor it all in. Matter of fact, I didn't say it here, I don't believe, but I want to say that when you're planning to do something, put your rest and leisure time at the top of the list. All right? 8 things to do. Number 1, rest. Rest. Get some rest. Get some rest. Get some leisure time. Get some relaxation, exercise time. That's number 1. Then talk about all the things you got to do, all the work stuff you got to do. Because we have to really be sure and be clear about the Sabbath principle. Even God doesn't command us anymore to rest on the seventh day because we live in Sabbath now. So the thing now is you have to be strategic about programming rest into your schedule, reflection time, quiet time. If you don't build that in, it won't come. It won't come. People won't give you that time. They'll say, you know what? You should just not call me back, or you should not answer my call. You should just rest. Nobody tells you that. Nobody suggests you should rest. They just work you. You know what I'm saying? They just work you, man. So you decide. You decide when you rest. You decide when you talk on the phone. You decide all that. You decide all that. Because folk won't decide it for you. Number 2, time is the interval between the eternal past and eternal future, which has been created for God to redeem and restore creation and humankind. So time is an interval. Time is not for God. Time is for us. God is an eternal spirit. Time is not even a factor to God. God doesn't need time at all. We need time. So God created time for us to work, and he put time in the creation because creation was fallen, and now he has created time for the purpose of redeeming and restoring creation, people, first of all, and even the natural world. So time was made for that purpose. And once God finishes that purpose, we'll go back to eternity. So time is this temporary interval between eternity. Now, it's hard for our minds to conceive that. All we think about is our lifetime, stuff we want, our cars and houses and jobs. That's you know, reasonable. But God is not really operating on that timetable. He's, you know, God just created time for his purpose. Time is for God's purpose. And therefore, I say this, time is holy. Say, time is holy. Yeah, it's holy because God made it. It is holy, set apart. Number 3, time allows God to move in seasons and fulfill his purposes. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9 says, who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. So obviously, that very statement makes it clear to us that purpose is to be fulfilled in this thing called time. Before time began, God made a plan, God had a purpose, and then time started, as it were, for these purposes to be worked out in natural creation and in people. That makes sense? So that makes time holy. That makes how we use time important. Number four, redeeming the time is a biblical mandate and a command from God. Time should not be misused. I mean, both time in the clock sense and time in opportunity sense, don't misuse it. It is a non-renewable resource, and time moves in one direction only. Yeah, so time is a non-renewable resource. You cannot get it back. You can't create any more of it. It is what it is. It's now, and it's the next now. There's no going back, and it cannot be recovered. As the other author said, let's just do better going forward. If you wasted time, made mistakes in time past, just look at going forward. All right, here's some more practical considerations. Number one, use non-communication zones, which means that when you're working or in progress or in process of something, that's not the time to communicate. Unless your job is communicating with people. I mean, if your job is answering the phone and answering questions, that's different. But if you're involved with a project that requires all of your mind and all your reasoning and understanding and knowledge, you can't talk during that time. Now, people who work with me are surprised sometimes that I don't allow anything when I'm working. No music in the background, no sports talk, nothing. I want it quiet. We're working here. And why, so I don't, that's my preference now, for those who work with me and for me, because I've learned to become very productive, and I learned that I'm more productive when there is absolutely no distractions. Even a noisy room, you know, it may sound like, oh, you're going over the top. Well, listen. If you did what I had to do, you'd understand. Since you don't know what I do, then don't try to understand it. I'm telling you what I'm suggesting what you should think about doing. Have non-communication zones. Allocate uninterrupted blocks of time to concentrate, focus on the Lord, focus on your work. Now listen, it might be just 1 hour. Then answer the phone, call folks back. You follow me? I'm saying like 5 hours straight, that's too much. But you have to have 1, 2, 3 hours of uninterrupted time. Because what I found is this, in some projects, if I have to start and stop, it's harder to start again. You know what I'm saying? I just got my mind around this thing, and now I got to stop and talk on the phone, and then I get back, and where was I? You know. So sometimes it's hard to get back to what you were doing before. So it's best to have those blocks of time. Second is get into a flow state. Say a flow state. Now, I've got the, give yourself a fixed time, a period to get things done. Allow yourself to get into a flow state, which is a high level of focus in which everything else disappears. Now, flow state is well known. It's well known in the world of business and athletics and such like that. Because in a flow state, it's like, I read, an author said this. He said that sense of fluidity between your body and mind, where you are totally absorbed by and deeply focused on something, beyond the point of distraction. Time feels like it's slowed down. And your senses are heightened. That's exactly right. Now, this is not some spiritual state, although it can be, actually, because I remember one time I was praying in my car. And I got into a flow state, and I ran a red light. So praying in the car is not a good idea. I mean, if you're really praying now, because real prayer will take you out of the realm of time. You know what I'm saying? Real prayer will take you out of the circumstance, and you'll lose track of time. Well, in your work and projects, same thing, the flow state, that when you get to that place, you become totally absorbed and focused and beyond the point of distraction. So consider that. Again, this is how we can maximize our opportunities and maximize time. Isaiah 28, verse 30 says, "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you." That's a good verse. Yeah, he'll keep him in perfect peace. It's like a flow state. Whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Now here's some more tips. Make rest, prayer, quiet time, personal reading, study a priority. When you're building out a schedule or looking at your day, put that at the top. All right, you rest, overnight, you get up, you rest it, you pray, quiet time, and then have time for personal reading and study. We should all be about reading books and reading the Bible and learning. And, there's no substitute for reading and gaining wisdom over a period of time. Number two, start and end meetings on time. That's important nowadays when you have opportunity to be a part of that. If you planned a meeting, then you should start it and end it on time, right? And, we're all in Zoom meetings now, and those are very necessary, and we've been a part of all kinds of Zoom meetings, You mean those meetings where, it's going so long, I was in one meeting, I just stopped looking at the camera, put my picture up. I just listened to it and got back to other work. But why should I stare at the camera and I'm not even being involved and engaged in this thing, see? But there are Zoom meetings where you are engaged and where it's highly focused and highly productive. So we understand that. But if you're in charge of a meeting, you should start it and end it on time and keep people engaged. Number three, have supplies and materials you need at hand. You know how it is. Some projects require certain tools, certain things to have on hand, and nothing worse than sitting down to start something and not have what you need. Got to go get in the car, make a run, pick something up, bring it back. So try to have things ready before you start working on certain projects. Number four, get help and delegate. Now, good help is hard to find. That's still true. Yet, get help. If you get stuck, get help. We've wasted so much time being stuck. Because there's a thing in us that says, I'm going to figure this out. I'm going to figure this out 4 hours later. I'm going to figure this out. Well, in minute 30, you should have said, I'm going to get some help. I can't waste another 30 minutes, hour, 2 hours trying to figure this out when there's help available to me. And by the way, that's a great thing, y'all. It's, God wants us to humble ourselves. And you'll save yourself a lot of time. Listen, being humble saves you a lot of time. Because when you're humble, you say, Lord, I don't know, I'm stuck, I'm going to get some help. They don't know, I don't know. Good. They can help me more. Because I tell you something, the worst folk try to help are folk who think they already know, who called you for help. They called you, you're telling them, they like, I don't know about that, but why'd you call me for? See, so if you call for help, accept the help. Accept the help. Number five, use good procedures that don't have to be corrected later. This is important, y'all. Sometimes we do things a certain way, and it goes well. Well, make note of what went well. Why? If things don't go well, you got to go back and do it again later, then double check, why did you do that procedure the first time that way? In other words, use good procedures and avoid having to go back and redo stuff. That's a waste of time. Number six, delaying decisions. Now, certainly you have to sometime make a decision when it can be made. You can't rush every decision. I know that. But there is a problem of just delaying a decision, which is just procrastination. And I can't, you can't judge anybody for decisions they make, but we have to in ourselves decide, am I just delaying this thing because I'm afraid, right, of something, or is it a genuine reason to delay the decision? Number seven, watch the monkey. Now, everybody in the church know what I mean by watch the monkey now. If you don't, viewers don't know, it just means this. It's a word, a phrase I learned from a Harvard Business Review article. And the monkey is the thing that you have to do. So the monkey was on my back to minister this Sunday morning. Now, if I asked Galen to preach next Sunday morning, he got the monkey. He got the monkey, all right? But I haven't asked him yet. I might. I'm asking now. No, I'm kidding. No. But the monkey is the thing you have to do. But the problem is this. If you talk to somebody who has something they should do, and they ask you about it, they're trying to get you to take their responsibility. So watch the monkey. He wants to jump. The monkey wants to jump off of them and onto you. Now, you know when it's happened, when after the encounter, somebody calls you and asks a question like, what about that? How's that going? How's that going? Which means you got the monkey down. Now, listen, if you work for somebody, it's your job to take assignments, right? But in general, be careful that people don't give you a burden that doesn't belong to you. Don't give you a job that's not yours. Amen? Amen. I mean, I got a rule. I mean, nobody gives me jobs. Nobody gives me work to do. I got stuff to do. You can't give me nothing to do. Suggest I do this, do that. No, well, you can suggest it. Don't mean anything because if it's not part of what God told me to do, I'm not going to do it. Or if I don't work for you, I'm not going to do it. Now, I do work for church members. I do. That's different. I'm saying, though, but anybody else, you know, I had a pastor friend who gave me a book. You know, you should read this. I'm not reading. I hand it back. I'm not reading that book. I can't commit. I could take it and say thank you. And then I'd be lying to him and myself. So it's best to say, no, I'll make a note of it. And I did. But so, you know, if you could, if we could really think this through, you've lost a lot of clock time, Kairos time. You've lost opportunities by taking stuff on you that did not belong to you. You got that? Number eight, people you help need to cooperate. Yeah. So they ask you to help them, they don't cooperate, then okay. You know, you're gonna have to end the session, you know, because it's not working. All right, last point. Here's a quote I've shared, man, many times over the years. This quote says, question asked, who am I? It says this, I am your constant companion. I am your greatest helper or heaviest burden. I will push you onward or drag you down to failure. Half the things you do, you might just as well turn over to me, and I will be able to do them quickly, correctly. I'm easily managed. You must merely be firm with me. Show me exactly how you want something done, and after a few lessons, I will do it automatically. I am the servant of all great people and the last of all failures as well. Those who are failures, I have made failures. I'm not a machine, though I work with all the precision of a machine plus the intelligence of a human being. You may run me for profit or run me for ruin. It makes no difference to me. Train me. Take me, train me, and be firm with me, and I will place the world at your feet. Be easy with me, I will destroy you. Who am I? I am habit. Habit is my name. Anonymous author. And that is a very powerful and a very correct statement. And that, you know, habit, of course, we're all creatures of habit. So make our habits good. Amen? All right. Father, thank you, Lord, for giving us insight today into your word. Lord, giving us some ideas and concepts and things to think about, Lord, as we look at the clock time, our calendars, and yet more importantly, consider your set time, your purpose, your will, the things you want us to do. And we thank you, Father God, and praise you, Lord, for this day and for the opportunity, Lord God, we have. Even this message, this service is a set time here on Sunday morning, Lord.